This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
.304 on your Afternoon Drive. Philip Teresi, Skip Echeverria. Hour number two of the program, and I can't think of anything that would be better after a restful commercial break, capitalism in action, than hearing another commercial. This should be a good one, though. It is the latest from Team Caitlin, California. Another campaign ad from the Jenner campaign for governor. They call it King Newsom. So first of all, big ups on the decision to use a digital harpsichord. The subtitles read, Gavin Newsom thinks he's a king, and the rules only apply to the little people.
Fox 11 in Los Angeles obtained these photos of the governor and his wife at a party at the French Laundry, a Napa Valley restaurant, one of the most expensive on the West Coast. Nobody's faces were covered, but the governor has been preaching something different in public.
Wear your masks. Practice physical distancing.
I think it's highly hypocritical of him.
The governor just is not practicing what he preaches.
Just that's factual.
What on earth were you thinking?
Gavin Newsom doesn't deserve to be our governor, says the ad. Caitlin for California, ad paid for by Caitlin Jenner for Governor 2021 Incorporated.
That's going to be the talking point, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of them. I mean, it definitely reveals his hypocrisy. It's the easiest example of rules for thee, but not for me, that a politician has given us since either Gretchen Whitmer went to a birthday party or Ted Cruz went to Cancun. The Jenner campaign is right. Gavin Newsom thinks he's above us. The Jenner campaign is right. Gavin Newsom's a crummy governor, in part because he thinks he's above us. I'm still not voting for Caitlin Jenner for governor.
Well, and I guess I refuse to watch any episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians or the Caitlin show to go and see, you know, was Caitlin Jenner demonstrating appropriate social distancing and the following of all the rules too? Because I feel like there, you know, there could be that piece. I just feel like we spent how many months talking about this one in particular? Come out and show me what you're offering if you want me to. To get more than enough signatures to make up for the fact that you had to make sure that some people, you know, didn't sign Daffy Duck. But all of these candidates are failing to provide, I think, something that people could get behind. People that are more than just mad at the governor actually have some serious concerns about the direction of things. Because the reality is California is starting to open up. We have one of the highest levels of vaccination rates, especially considering the fact that we're such a big state. The economy is coming back. And so he's going to rebound from that.
Do you really think that he's going to rebound from that?
I don't think he's going to get recalled. There's no... I'm not voting for Jenner. Hard pass on that one. Hard pass. Don't sell me the woman next door nonsense. Stop it. Stop it. And I am all for supporting women.
Okay.
Oh,
are the other candidates real? I mean, look, do I think that Cox and his bear thing was a little silly? Sure. Can anybody really make an argument to me that John Cox is going to be worse at the job than Gavin Newsom?
You know, of the field, the one thing that I can give Cox over the rest of them is that he keeps losing and he keeps coming back. So he's determined. So to me, that speaks to not a sense of I can't accept defeat, but that you're willing to put up a fight and keep coming back and not, you know, go back to your multi-billion dollar lifestyle down south when you don't win the election, Caitlyn Jenner, and get to go back to just being famous and awesome.
So Caitlyn says she's qualified to do this job. She disagrees with the talking point that being a reality TV star and
not voting in things,
a gold medal winning Olympian and an entrepreneur on several fronts, as well as an example to the incredibly successful, look, whether you like him or not, they're they didn't grow that money on a tree, the incredibly successful girls of the Kardashian clan. Throw producer back up here for a minute. Let's hear Caitlin's explanation for why Skip's wrong. Oh, good. That doesn't work. Hang on.
In the entrepreneurial world, you know, people think of you been in show business. They think of you as a reality star. Certainly I've done that, but entertainment is a business and you have to run that business. But I've also done other things. You know, we sold $1 billion worth of exercise equipment on television. I've been at aviation companies. I've just always been involved being an entrepreneur and tried to inspire my children to do the same thing. And they've done very well in that department. And all of those life experiences about, and probably the most important thing is being a leader.
Well,
pull her up on Google. The descriptor is American socialite. I mean, like, you don't stop with the King Newsom stuff when that's literally what you are, but in a different vein, a different. I mean, is anything more fake than entertainment and home workout equipment?
How dare you? That woman won a gold medal in the Olympics.
Oh, and look, I almost died at the gym today, so I get it.
I think that Caitlyn Jenner is, I think Caitlyn Jenner would be a fascinating person to sit down and learn from in terms of business and in terms of resilience. I don't give a damn how much money you have. Coming out as trans, especially when the thing that you were really famous for was being super, super, super good at being a man. Coming out as trans, making that change, this is a person who has heard every insult, who has heard every crazy theory, who's been called every name in the book. I don't care how much money you've got, that sucks. And it takes an incredible fortitude to survive that process and have any humor and grace left. It'd be fascinating to talk to Caitlyn about resilience and about leadership and about just keeping on when people tell you that you shouldn't be there. We are the world's fourth largest economy. We are the seat of technology. The amount of commerce that moves through the state of California is rivaled only by our own country, the United Kingdom, China and Germany. I think maybe we're ahead of Germany now. Anyways, I understand that you did a really good job selling crap off the front of a box of Wheaties. And I understand that your daughters are spectacular at generating attention around themselves for the sake of generating attention. And I think that there's an interesting story there. I'm not afraid to say that I think that this is an interesting person, even if I don't totally understand. In fact, that I don't totally understand is part of what makes Caitlyn Jenner interesting. It doesn't mean that she's qualified to deal, because don't forget, we're having this whole conversation about King Newsom and how he doesn't get to rule by fiat. The governor is one piece of a much larger puzzle, and somebody who understands the morass, the bureaucratic hellhole that is Sacramento, is essential to fighting it successfully.
Well, and I think something that feels cheap to me is that just because I am vocal and supportive and a self-proclaimed kind of mama bear when it comes to the marginalization of the LGBTQ community, just because I see a trans woman running does not mean I'm going to go, oh, got my vote. or just because I see a woman. You know, it'd be really nice to have a woman governor. I'm not so blinded by, ooh, a girl, that I'm just going to get that vote out. And that was that. That is what I felt in the introductory ad. No, you got a good laugh out of that one. But that's where I kind of see it. Like, don't you like me? I'm fun and friendly and I'm successful. But you know what? So was the guy that was throwing his name in the, I can't even remember his name now. He was a Silicon Valley individual who helped with Facebook. I mean, you have to have a lot of money to be able to run. So they're all rich and successful and entrepreneurs. That's like, you better have a high school diploma. I don't even know if they all have that. But the point being that you can be successful, but that doesn't, this isn't a game show and you're the talking head of it.
Well, and this isn't a business. This isn't a corporation where you've got a board of directors and a C-suite and a chain of command. That's the thing that I think some of these people forget. And this is one of those elements that I actually think Cox gets it. And I think Falconer gets it, but there's a little bit too much of the playing the intra-party heartache of the GOP right now from Falconer, in my opinion. You're not a leader. You're a servant. You are elected by the people to represent the interests of the people, to make sure that things are better tomorrow than they were yesterday. Your entire function is to be a good steward of the people's resources. They're not the state's resources. They're ours. They belong to you and me. We made them. Some of them we inherited through birthright. But it's our stuff. It's our money. It's our coast. It's our oil. It's our roads. They're ours. And these overambitious goofballs crawl out of the woodwork and diminish. And I include Gavin Newsom in this. They diminish the office of the governor of the state of California, because they make it about power and they make it about ego, and they act as if though their function is to lead, when in fact their function is to be a bulwark against a legislation that has run completely out of control. And it's our own fault because we keep voting for these jackwagons.
Well, and we're going to continue to see if any additional names are added to that list. Right now, there are over 60 people that have filed their paperwork, over 60, to run for governor against Newsom if he does receive over 50% of the votes saying to oust him. So we'll see. But there is about 53 days left. So if there is some... Would you say knight in shining armor, or the female equivalent, or somewhere in the middle? They better get on it because they only got about 53 days to get the paperwork in.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We're going to do a bet off the air on who we think's going to, like, I don't think he's getting recalled, but who's going to get the most votes?
I could go for a gentleman's bet, yeah.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
Well, would you look at that? It's already after 3 o'clock. Hey, if you miss any part of the show, you can go ahead and get our podcast available at KMJNow.com. That's where you can also get podcasts from Broski Masson, Ray Appleton, Afternoon Drive, this show, and the weekend shows as well. So we invite you to go and check that out. That's Philip. I'm Skip. Now we go to Portland. Hang on to your hats. It's time for Antifa, folks.
Yeah, so this is especially with so many stories about the arrests, the ongoing investigations, and the prosecutions of the would-be insurrectionists of January 6th. And when we came to work that day, and for the days immediately following that, one of the things that we fought hardest against was the whataboutisms. And the most vocal whatabout was, well, what about the Antifa rioters? What about what's going on in Portland? What about what happened over the summer? And it was a frustrating thing because there's a real issue there. There's a real problem that the state of Oregon, that the city of Portland allowed for that situation to get so far out of hand. And so it was tough because we wanted to keep the focus on what had happened January 6th in our nation's capital. But there was a detectable and understandable frustration from people saying, well, we're going to go after these yahoos running around in QAnon shirts, but what about the Antifa guys? By way of Fox News and the New York Post, more than two dozen Antifa rioters have been charged for Portland mayhem. This on the heels of a story from New York Post talking about one of their journalists, Andy, I'm sorry, I've never heard his name pronounced out loud, and I think it's Ngo, but it's NGO is his last name. So, Andy, I apologize because I know you're high enough profile. I should know how to say your name by now, but I just never heard it said out loud. More than two dozen Antifa rioters have been charged in the past 2 weeks. This is local and federal prosecutors finally getting off the pot. Thursday, the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office announced charges against 10 suspects following several grand jury indictments. 23-year-old Max Jennings, 25-year-old James Prettyman, that's going to be a rough name in prison.
Oh, boy.
34-year-old Thomas Mull Roick, all charged with one count each of felony riot, felony first-degree criminal mischief, and second-degree criminal mischief.
These three were indicted over the accusations that they were a part of a mob, a black-clad mob, that broke most of the windows of the county Democrats' headquarters on November 8th. So this is going back, obviously, a couple months leading up to the events that happened on January 6th. And at the time, Antifa accounts on social media promoted a, quote, direct action to oppose the presidential election. There was also an additional indictment with six other suspects that were charged with felony crimes for their roles in the Antifa Inauguration Day riot on January 20th.
This is the one that you saw with people holding a sign that said, we don't want Biden, we want revenge and Kalashnikovs. This was a group of Antifa buttheads that marched to the Democratic Party of Oregon building where they started fires, smashed windows, and were caught with knives, batons, and crowbars. That includes Nicole Rose, 26, Daryl Kimberlin, 31, 19-year-old Gene Paris, 22-year-old Kyle Romstad, all charged with one count each of felony riot, felony first-degree criminal mischief, and second-degree criminal mischief. So very similar charges here.
Kai Ave Duvia, 23, is a serial riot arrestee and faces charges, those same charges, in addition to a second count of second-degree criminal mischief for allegedly smashing out windows of coffee shop at another riot in November.
The most serious charges here go to 25-year-old Austin Nathaniel Nutraska. In addition to felony riot and criminal mischief charges, he's getting jammed up with four counts of unlawful possession of a destructive device at that January 20th riot. So this guy was carrying around homemade bombs.
The district attorney's office also turned its attention to Sean Gabriel Lopez. He is a 26-year-old rapper who goes by No Shoe, who was attending riots and protests in Portland and was arrested in the early hours of May 29th after a warrant was issued on charges of felony second degree attempted assault, felony first degree burglary, felony unlawful use of a weapon, and two counts of felony first degree criminal mischief, that stemming from a riot on the 23rd of April, where he is accused of using a rock to break a window of an apartment complex. Somebody caught that on their phone that lived in the apartment complex, and a resident was nearly hit. Lopez is accused also of throwing a rock through a window of a coffee shop. Now, his bail was $70,000 and was paid by the Portland chapter of the National Lawyers Guild's Mass Defense Fund program.
What's interesting here is these charges are coming from Mike Schmidt. This is the left-leaning district attorney who had dropped 90% of the riot and protest-related cases last year. Back before he entered office in August of 2020, Schmidt had said, quote, "I think that when you look historically at this nation, it's during these protests when we've gotten some of the changes that we are proudest of in our nation's history. And sometimes it took some property damage. It took more than just peaceful protests to get the government's attention. I'm very mindful of that." And his spokeshole says, Schmidt has continuously condemned property damage and violence. Now that we're finally seeing the beginnings of consequences, because this is a little bit, this kind of stands in contrast to the January 6th incident, where you have hundreds of people who have been picked up. And we'll continue with this in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break for an update of headlines from the KMJ newsroom. But a lot of folks getting named, a lot of charges being filed in Oregon because of the riots. The whataboutism is over, and now it's what about that?
For the fifth consecutive year, abortion remains the world's leading cause of fetus mortality, even despite the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Tragically, it's now been reported that the number of infant deaths caused by abortion is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. Preborn is leading the charge to turn this around. Every day, Preborn's network clinics rescue 200 unborn babies. By introducing a mom to her child via ultrasound, a baby's chance of survival could double. Preborn's work has only begun. By the time I finish this life-saving message, two unborn babies will be aborted in this country. Will you join Preborn and The Ben Shapiro Show and make 2024 our most successful year in history? One ultrasound is just $28, $140 will offer five babies a chance at life. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That is #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Dial #250, say keyword baby to get started. One ultrasound, just $28, $140 will offer five babies a chance at life. Donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. That is preborn.com/Ben.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Arrests of Antifa rioters in Oregon finally being announced. A laundry list of names and charges. Still not as many names, not as many folks being charged as what we saw January 6th, but certainly a step in the right direction. Skip, I don't think there's any argument that charging these people with these crimes is completely correct. And they'll have their day in court in the event that somebody was mistakenly charged. It's an interesting, it's a troubling split in the standards being held by the two respective jurisdictions and the prosecutors involved. Now, there are federal charges that are coming in for some of these folks as well. So it's not just a local district attorney. It's not just a state's attorney general. It's also coming down from the federal level. There are people who are going to say, for every Capitol rioter, there should be an Antifa or Portland rioter. Kind of the tit for tat thing. I think that they should be going after these people just about as hard as they go after the Capitol rioters. Is there any chance we're going to see that will imposed on this situation?
I think that the Capitol rioters took front and center because that was so, and I know we get tired of saying this, unprecedented, right? Like, yeah. we did that was a violation on a level that was absolutely just insane and never seen before. And rightfully so, got the attention of multiple agencies working together because of the threat to the democratic system. Now, you get over into Oregon and you've got the politics of that getting in the way. I think initially, when we saw some of the demonstrations take place, there were demonstrations across the United States that started out making some very valid points. And I mean, I point to Fresno and specifically that did not turn into the hot mess dumpster fire that is Portland. Now, I also, though, have to go back to this and look, if these people were doing what they did, they had, you know, chemical agents on federal property, if they were carrying explosives and doing all of that, then absolutely nail them. However, I mean, I point to one of the pictures and it says, you know, the Portland-based journalist is covered in an unknown substance from an unidentified Antifa member. Dude, it's silly string. Stop. So, like, again.
Oh, okay, but that picture's silly string. Then we've got this. Then we've got this other protester who's being charged. He's been extradited back to Oregon. Two counts of aggravated attempted murder, two counts of attempted first-degree murder, four counts of felony riot, two counts of unlawful manufacturing of an explosive device.
Nail him.
Unlawful possession of a firearm and possession of a loaded firearm in public. That is Malik Fard Muhammad, a 24-year-old.
Yeah, I'm not making excuses for that, but I'm also not saying that the silly string is on par with the bear spray that we saw. So I think that there can be a kind of objective look at what's in front of us. And absolutely, you know what? If you have this guy who is accused of throwing Molotov cocktails, good. If you have people that were destroying property, and because I don't think this was under the guise of actually trying to move forward any sort of movement, it was just creating chaos. I mean, again, look, Team Blue doesn't want him either. They were smashing up the Team Blue meeting place. So I think that's one of the biggest frustrations, because this is not even like the Democratic bit that's in Oregon. They were literally smashing the building. Whereas you can't compare the two, because we all know what was like, who was there at the insurrection. And so I am interested in seeing how this goes forward. I think that hopefully this causes some people to go, you know what, maybe I need a hobby other than just going and looking for some mischief. Because I think there was a piece of the population that was like, oh, I'm bored. I mean, we saw that, right? Like the kids that had like the millionaire parents. Remember that? Like, I think that was a New York thing where they got arrested, where they were fighting against the man, but they're literally the most like
privileged
adult children you can
There's
imagine.
There's privilege. That's privilege.
Yeah, in that situation. So I would like for some of this to move away from it's the cool thing to be able, you know, let's put it up on the Instagram or the TikTok that we're out fighting the man, when you're literally benefiting from all of it. And no, you're not. You just want to break things, and you know, got tired of breaking your own things at home. That's different than people that have real injustice.
In both of these groups, the Capitol rioters and the Portland Antifa rioters, in both of these groups, there was at one time a core, a handful of folks that organized this. And what they intended, or what you could point to and say conclusively they said they intended, were protests against injustices, real and perceived. In both cases, the situation got horribly out of control, inexcusably out of control. Will there be accountability for the organizers, or does this start to get into that question of, once you get enough people in a room, no one person can be called to account for the behavior of the group?
I think that once movements go larger and more mainstream, you do open it up to people who can take that in a different direction than you're hoping to. And I don't know that you could go back and charge the organizers for this any more than, you know, nobody's going to go back and get charged in I don't know what you would call that, that little get together speech thing that happened before the actual insurrection.
The rally. Yeah.
The rally. You know, can you make those hard and fast connections? I do think that it sets back actual progress in trying to figure out some solutions in the middle, because people are, you know, that's right, that's Antifa, and then it's going to be the other side. You know, I mean, it creates a lot of division, but charge them. They broke rules. They did things that weren't even at this point necessarily progressing an agenda other than chaos. Hold them accountable, but hold the other folks accountable. You know, like, hold them all accountable.
So now that we are seeing these consequences coming down, and in the case of the Oregon Antifa rioters, the number of arrests to date is much, much lower than what we saw from January 6th. But they're happening. It has begun. Will charging, trying, and in the event of a guilty verdict, incarcerating the most conspicuous troublemakers or the most easily caught troublemakers, do you think that this will lead to a little bit of a cool down in the streets? Or do you think that the biggest troublemakers were smart enough to not get caught?
Oh, I think some of them got away with it in terms of not getting caught, right? I think that some of them got arrested on other things before the action actually happened because they knew that they might be a bigger issue. And I'll point to the president of the Proud Boys getting picked up like the day before.
Yeah.
I think it's going to make for very interesting dialogue and interactions if they all get sent to the same place to see if they were people that actually believed in their cause or just really liked being the center of attention. QAnon shaman.
Based on the comments that Jacob Chansley's lawyer has made, the QAnon shaman, I wouldn't be surprised to see that cat get tossed in the booby hatch. Because while I think that the people who buy lock, stock, and barrel into stuff like QAnon, I think that they are, at my most charitable, they're being deceived and misled. Who's the boogeyman on the left? Because when you go out to those very, very, very far right fringes, it's really easy to kind of lump all of that into the QAnon conspiracy, because that has kind of grown to take all conspiratorial thinking under its umbrella. Is there a Q of the left? Or is there some other social malaise that has led to this? Because I was never going to go to D.C. to participate in a rally. I'm never going to go to D.C. to take up arms on behalf of an anonymous commenter on 4chan. I'm also never going to go to Portland to smash up police cars and scream about racial injustice. But at least I know where to go find the Q people.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it. I don't identify with it. But I can find it. There's a thing I can point to and say, look, there's the structure, there's the beliefs, there's the ideas. Is there an equivalent, or is this is what's happening with the Antifa guys a more subtle and insidious kind of social upheaval?
Oh, that's a good question, because I'm trying to think, like, where would you say that the types congregate, right? You can't even, like, point to 4chan or those kind of things, because they're not even involved in some of that underbelly of the internet. I don't know that there's, like, a meeting place necessarily for a bigger purpose, because I think that it is a very small segment. And it's not particularly tied to a political movement or an election of a particular individual. I mean, like they said, they didn't want Biden either. So I think where you'll start to see some of the folks that are at the forefront of that, people that maybe really romanticize and then co-opt some of the really significant pushes for justice that have happened in the past that probably don't really even necessarily have a total understanding of. I mean, when you look at the age group and demographic here, there it doesn't necessarily fit. I think it would be interesting to go and see where these folks call home and where their money is coming from in terms of, we've seen a lot of patterns of entitlement and almost like a inability to be mature and self-fulfilling or like into their own. And so it's this active toddler activity.
Well, and that's especially with the Antifa, the troublemakers there on the left, because on the right, you've got a very different demographic spread. I think in part because there is a centralized thing to kind of attach to. I would be fascinated to know, because when I was 25 years old, Skip, I would never have gone to a riot unless there was a chance I was going to see white zombie or meet hot chicks.
You're talking about a group that always wants to be the coolest in the room, though, and like the hipster that was into it first. So that's the thing. I don't think you're going to find the thing. It's more of like an attitude.
No, 25-year-olds need to rediscover Rob Zombie and hot chicks.
If you miss any part of the Afternoon Drive, you can get the podcast available at kmjnow.com. That's where you can also get them from Broski Musan, Ray Appleton, The Weekend Lineup, and more. So we broke the news for you day before yesterday that there had been an arrest of a high-profile educator-administrator in the area, and that was the arrest of the superintendent of Central Unified.
Yeah, Andy Alvarado was arrested. It's a domestic violence charge that has not as yet been filed, in part because the Fresno County District Attorney's Office had to recuse. Thank you. I was like an advocate.
I'm the one that knew the big word.
Because of a conflict of interest, the Fresno County DA has recused themselves. And it's going to now be handled by the Madera County District Attorney's Office in the event that they determine that it is appropriate to continue with the charges against the superintendent of the Central Unified School District.
The Fresno County DA's office put out the statement that due to our personal and professional relationships, Fresno County District Attorney Lisa Smitkamp has declared a conflict of interest in the pending domestic violence case against Central Unified School District Superintendent Andrew Alvarado. So, accordingly, the Madera County District Attorney's Office will review the case for criminal charges, and should the DA choose to pursue those charges, a Madera County prosecutor will specially appear in the Fresno County Superior Court to process and handle the case to its conclusion.
Since the case was filed, rumors of other cases, past charges have come up, and it's really given the office of the superintendent a black eye. So the Central Unified School Board voted to place Mr. Alvarado on administrative leave with pay while the investigation plays out and while they conduct their own in-house investigation. I'm not surprised at administrative leave with pay. I'm a little surprised that it took them 2 hours behind closed doors to come to that conclusion. Look, he hasn't been convicted of anything as yet. And there's going to be a lot of salacious reporting on it because it's a school administrator and a particularly vocal and high-profile character being charged with something that's really icky.
Well, and there's so few actual details. And then we hear about, you know, D.A. Smitkamp removing herself from the case. So there's just, it has lots of ingredients for gossip.
Exactly right. And that's where I hesitate to even get into some of the other charges that were rumored to have existed. Last year, he had been charged with two misdemeanor violations. One was contracting without a license. The other, failure to secure payment for compensation. An arrest warrant was issued in those cases, and the case is still pending. So there may be a failure to appear issue there. He hasn't been convicted of anything yet. The fact that he was charged with two misdemeanor violations of state labor law and there was no action from the school board is a little surprising to me. This is a person who's supposed to be possessed of impeccable judgment and moral character, moral authority. He hasn't been convicted of anything yet, but my eyebrow goes up when I hear it took them 2 hours to come to this conclusion under these circumstances.
We'll see, but it was an interesting situation to have one of our 87 kids go grab the brand new yearbook from Central High School and point to it to ask us to explain it last night.
She cut out the clipping from KMJNow.com, pasted the yearbook.
For the memories, right? News on the way after the top of the hour.